This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Accelerate your day with today's business headlines with Volvo Cars.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutan with me, Joyce Goh and Tan Chung Han with the top business stories of the day. So let's move on to some more interviews that giving us a sense of the mind of the government. This is Tun Daim, who's not with a government, but he's with the Council of Eminent Peoples, and he is given an exclusive to Star Biz. And the headline is that relationship with China, especially around business, are going to be handled with care.
Yeah, so he said that, Tun Daim said that business contracts with China that seem tainted and lopsided will be dealt with in a diplomatic way. And he mentioned in quotes that, you know, they're talking to them. This is Beijing now. And he had met with Chinese Ambassador Bai Tian, and China might have been misled by our fellows.
Right, so some pretty loaded statements there coming out of that exclusive with Starbiz there. Now, we note that the Council of Eminent Persons will hand over a report to the federal government once that 100-day mark is over. And then he wants to just go off. And he actually spoke, he being Tun Daim, spoke about wanting to write about GE14 after he steps away from the Council of Eminent Persons. But nevertheless, you know, he said that it's up to the Pakatan government whether or not they want to publish this report by the council. I, for one, would love to see the report and get more details about what he's saying here. You know? So, if, for example, again, like you mentioned, Joyce, you know, according to Tun Daim, says that, you know, China might have been misled by the previous administration, and talks about some of these one-sided or tainted or difficult to understand deals under the Najib administration.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to also know the backstory. I'm sure there are many backstories, many discussions, closed-door discussions that has happened. I mean, it'll be an interesting book or report to read. He also mentions in his interview with The Star, because they asked him, right, how much has been the nation's total loss due to scandals and corruption? And he said, I won't mention figures. I don't want to shock everybody, but it's depressing.
You know, one of the things, because that we saw with the formation of the Council of Eminent Persons was the inclusion of Robert Kwok there, because we presume his relationship, a very strong relationship with China, and not just in sort of an abstract sense, but because he also was known to the current president, Xi Jinping. And so the idea is that if there are any misgivings or concerns, that they can be communicated directly with the current leader of China. But it does, I mean, there's a bigger question, I think, here, which has to do with China's One Belt, One Road initiative, and how much of it's predicated on governments in those countries where they're dealing with being fairly stable and not changing. You know, we've seen some reversals and chops and changes in, say, in Sri Lanka, where in fact the incoming government, because it's been a year or so since the new government was formed, they campaigned on an anti-China platform. Though when they came to power, they kind of had to do a reversal on their position and acknowledge that they were in some ways locked into those deals with China.
Right, I think we saw some of that in Indonesia as well. Well, by, you know, Jokowi has long touted his infrastructure agenda, but, you know, unable to really pull it off, you know, and, you know, because of that double-edged a sword that is China, right? So it's something that the Pakatan government here in Malaysia will have to deal with as well. On one hand, as Tun Daim talks about, having to handle that Chinese relationship with care, but at the same time protecting the interests of taxpayers here in Malaysia.
Yeah, but China is such a big, I mean, it's a powerhouse in a global scheme of things. Definitely a huge country that is trading with every other country globally, and it's difficult to ignore them. So it'll be good to relook at the contracts, but you can't ignore China entirely.
Yeah, and also, you know, the Edge Weekly, you got Ho Kei Tat, who's back. He's writing his writing his commentary now.
And he never went away.
Well, yeah, but now
but he's writing a lot more now.
Way more. So he highlighted a rather hard-hitting commentary coming out of Chinese media about this relationship, you know, and the headline out of that Chinese piece was that the Malaysian government will have to pay the cost for some of these decisions, right? So how much of that is posturing, you know, versus what would actually pragmatically happen on the ground? Well, literally, in the case of ECRL, we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that you do see happening with the way China signals to the world its positions is it does work through certain means. media outlets. And, you know, there's always a presumption that those media outlets are speaking on behalf of the Chinese government. Might not be true, but if you looked at the debacle that Singapore was embroiled with China, the Global Times in English language China media was, the main platform for criticisms against the Singapore government. And it's really interesting. We need to become all, in some ways, more serious China watchers and to understand where this relationship goes in the future.
Well, speaking about The Itch, earlier, Han, you were saying, The Itch has a cover story this week on their interview with Saudara Lim Guan Eng. And in quotes, it's pretty cheeky. They quoted him and he says, "We've got to be stingy." So in this interview, he's saying, you know, he shares his thoughts and experiences in the 2 weeks after assuming the hot seat finance minister role.
Okay, so he is not from Penang. He was just the chief minister of Penang. He's from Malacca, but he's clearly imbibed the Penang spirit of being stingy, right?
Isn't that we're careful with our money.
Okay, we're careful. Let's see how Penangites kind of defend their position.
I am staying out of this, man. I don't want to risk upsetting a whole island of people over there. But yeah, so you've got three full pages of that Lim Guan Eng interview in The Edge Weekly there. And I want to draw your attention to one particular part whereby he comments on the TRX, because right now with this new government, we have seen how some high-profile, big-ticket infrastructure projects have been axed. I'm talking MRT3, I'm talking HSR, right? But there's also the TRX project, which MOF already has a stake in. And so, you know, he talks about how, well, he tries to lend some clarity to the whole situation, saying that it is, you know, the MOF's responsibility to make sure it sees this project through, but under the right conditions.
Yeah, so the tower MOF has a 49%, and the Mulia Group has a 51%. Mm. And Lim Guan Eng said that, you know, yes, and there is also a clause that whatever money forked out has to be returned after a certain time period. So if they can't do that, the whole building belongs to MOF. So he's talking about the Indonesian party.
Right. So this ties in with the what's on the cover of Starbiz today. Their headline reads, TRX Project Mulia Seeks Government Guidance. So, you know, because, look, this uncertainty is impacting Mulia Group's discussions with, say, possible tenants. But moving ahead, you know, can Mulia Group expect the same kind of will to see TRX through versus what was evidenced by the previous administration?
I mean, it's interesting, the headline, stability is the holy grail of investors. That's often said, but in a situation that's as exceptional as we are experiencing, where we do, in fact, expect change, because change will mean we put our institutions back on track and we deal with dodgy deals that were made in the past, potentially. So instability will be the name of the game, but it might be a good thing in the medium and long term.
Yeah, Sharad, speaking about investors, the Star, in their interview to Tun Adaim, they asked him, the stock market seems to be volatile after Pakatan's winning. What is your advice to investors in the stock market? And he said, in quotes, basically, in a capitalist society, they don't mind corruption as long as they make money. You know, but before that, they didn't mind corruption because that's the way to make money easier and faster. So the more you have, the easier for you, because you have more money to bribe. So, but at the end of the day, it's what he's saying is that, you know, as far as the capitalist society is concerned, that kind of government is good, but they underestimated the will of the rakyat.
Well, that's one interpretation of the capitalist system.
Well, you know, I do think, though, the question of pricing in corrupt practices, in especially as businesses go overseas. So this understanding that we have to pay off or lubricate you know, certain palms in order to get things going. Now, that is the old norm. The idea is, can this government establish new norms when it comes to business practices?
Yeah, you're exactly right. And in the near term, they will have a litmus test of sorts ready, because recall that on Thursday, we spoke about the return of Ting Kek Ting, of Ekran Fame, Bakundem, Plaza Rakyat, etc. And so you get an update here real quick. You know, looks like the Kedah MB, Dato' Sri Mokris Mahathir, said that, well, guess what? He has not actually received a deposit payment in line with conditions for a mega project of this nature. We're talking about that 30 billion ringgit Qatar-esque development in Langkawi. So yeah, pretty interesting turn of events there. We'll see if King's project actually takes off.
Okay, well, there's a WhatsApp that's come in that said that Lim Guaning was born in Batu Pahat and that he's not from Malacca. I don't know if that's true, but
I think it's true. He's from Johor.
He's from Johor. Mm. Wow, from my state. Okay.
You just lay claim to everything.
Relative.
Why not? But not to Penang. Okay, we're coming up top of the hour. We'll be back with The Breakfast Grill. Our guest this morning, Rafizi Ramli from PKR. Remember, you can always tweet us or WhatsApp us. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Fuel your business drive with a Volvo S90 T8 twin engine. So cost efficient, it makes good business sense. Volvo, made by Sweden.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.